This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. In the month made for snow days, it was a bomb day out in L.A., where bombs are more associated with failed Hollywood monster movies than school closings. At last night's Republican presidential debate in Las Vegas, Ted Cruz grabbed that storyline and reminded the audience how a former Hollywood actor once saved the world.
You know, my daughters, Caroline and Catherine, came tonight. They're 7 and 5. And you think about the Los Angeles schools canceling their schools today. And every parent is wondering, how do we keep our kids safe? We need a commander-in-chief who does what Ronald Reagan did with communism, which is he set out a global strategy to defeat Soviet communism, and he directed all of his... I'm answering the question, Dana. He directed all of his forces to defeating communism.
Republican Senator Ted Cruz in Las Vegas at the debate last night. We'll have more hyperbole from the GOP screenwriter candidates later this hour. It was the best of times, though. It was the worst of times. It was a credible threat. It was a complete hoax. The threat that closed the L.A. schools yesterday was sent to New York City officials in a tale of two cities that raises questions about vigilance in the era of ISIS. Here's Ramon Cortinas, the superintendent of L.A. schools.
I can't take a chance, and all schools, I've asked them to be searched today.
But New York Police Commissioner Bill Bratton suggested that was an overreaction.
Based on the information I'm working with, if that's the same information they had, I think, yes, that it's what they want, whether it's a prankster or a terrorist.
Is the can't-take-a-chance attitude too sensitive a trigger in this era? Does there need to be better standardization of threat evaluation in U.S. communities? Marisa Randazzo is managing partner of Sigma Threat Management and former chief research psychologist for the Secret Service. She joins us from WETA, public radio station in Arlington, Virginia. Marisa, welcome.
Thanks.
So what do you think of this really divergent reaction to this threat that L.A. had and that New York had? And again, we don't know if they're exact, but what do you think?
Well, let me give you a little bit of background on what threat assessment is to help provide some context about how these school districts make these decisions. Threat assessment is really a fact-finding process where you do the best you can with the information you have available. You see what you've got, and for these two districts, they saw information coming in by email that indicated a specific intent to do harm at schools in their districts. Now, what happens once you get that initial report is you seek out other information. So in both cases, they likely went to local law enforcement for L.A. They had L.A. County sheriffs involved and other folks, as well as going to federal law enforcement. So they would likely reach out to the FBI in a case like this, probably involve their Joint Terrorism Task Force to see what else do they know. When you reach out to federal law enforcement, you often get that connection. So you'd hear, well, we've gotten something very similar in across the nation on the East Coast, looking at what LA had on the West Coast. But threat assessment takes some time to pull information together to see, is this a credible threat or not? And I think what we saw is these two districts, with what limited information they had, made different decisions in terms of what precautionary steps they wanted to take.
Well, but that's a little alarming. I mean, is it really a coin flip? I mean, you have the same information, and one person says we close the schools, another person says it's an overreaction.
No, it really isn't a coin flip. They really have to make the most prudent decision they can make, given the information they have available, as they're still trying to gather more information.
But how can both be right? How can both be right in that situation?
Well, let's look at what happened in the L.A. area. So in San Bernardino, we saw a shooting that occurred with mass casualties that has really rocked that whole area. And L.A. is very close by to San Bernardino. For them, they had a different context. For them, they said, look, this is a cost for us we're willing to take. We were willing to make this decision to say, let's have students stay home from school today so that we can do these full searches. Because for us, we've seen something right next door occur with horrific consequences. For New York, for what they were seeing, they thought, no, we don't think there's any credibility to this. So we're going to take a different stance. It really has to do in large part with the context of what you're seeing. L.A. and San Bernardino just saw something horrific. So for them, they wanted to take an extra precautionary step.
But couldn't you make an argument that that context would actually be a justification for not doing something in L.A.? Because you basically take the context, which is different from the threat. There was no indication that they were related, at least from this threat. And And maybe that would have been an argument to be more, you know, stand firm here and not cancel schools, because when you have that echo of San Bernardino in the community, you run the risk of amplifying a sense of unease. Now people go back to school today even more nervous than they were yesterday, and you've raised a level of unease in the entire community. And I wonder if that's an appropriate role for the superintendent of schools.
I actually don't think they raised a level of unease. I think, in fact, what they did was they took that time. By canceling school, they took that time to be able to do thorough sweeps of all of their schools, which takes an extensive amount of time to do. So they were able to provide a measure, an objective measure of safety. We looked into it, whether the threat was credible or not. We've now swept all of our schools to determine there were no such items that were mentioned in this email. So they were able to verify that the threat was not credible. New York made a decision, we don't believe there's credibility to this, therefore we're not going to. LA said, that may be the case. We want to take an extra step to make sure all of our students and all of our personnel are safe. And I think what we need to remember is that there was no such threat prior to the San Bernardino shootings. So the fact that they had one, they felt an obligation to the safety of their students and the safety of their employees to make sure they were taking that extra step to ensure safety.
Finally, does this event suggest some sort of, more standard federal approach to these kinds of threats, a quicker response time to these kinds of threats when you're dealing with, the scale of students, 640,000 in L.A., it's even more in New York?
One of the things that I do want to highlight is that threat assessment is considered to be best practice for preventing a whole host of school-related violence, whether it's coming from an individual who may be despondent or disgruntled, or whether it's coming from someone who may have a terrorist agenda or may have been influenced by some sort of violent extremism. We're looking at gathering information to see if someone is actually planning to do something violent, whatever the motive or impetus may be. It really is considered to be best practice, and I want to highlight the fact that LA Unified School District has actually had a very well-respected threat assessment program in place for a number of years. So I don't know specifically if they were involved in this, but it is the really considered to be the gold standard for preventing harm in schools.
Marisa Randazzo, thanks so much for coming in to talk with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Marisa Randazzo is managing partner of Sigma Threat Management and a former chief research psychologist for the Secret Service.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.